12th canto, 3rd chapter, verse number 9. Ritu Puraravagadi. Ritu Puraravagadi.
Ritu Puraravagadi.
Nahuso Bharato Arjuna.
Nahuso Bharato Arjuna.
Nahuso Bharato Arjuna.
Nahuso Bharato Arjuna.
Mandata Sagaro Rama.
Mandata Sagaro Rama.
Katvango Dunduha Rahu.
Katvango
Dunduha Rahu. Prithu Purvava Gadi. Maharaj, Prithu Purvava and Gadi. Nahusha Bharata Arjuna. Nahusha Bharata and Kartavira Arjuna. Mandata Sahara Rama. Mandata Sagara and Rama. Katvanga Dunduha Rahu. Katvanga Dunduha and Rahu. Okay, this actually, you know, the purport here, the verse stanza 9 to 13, you know, it goes from 9 to 13. Only someone has written only 9 actually, you know, it's a combined sloka. But anyway, it's written, one is written. So what we do, you know, we read the translation for the 9 to 13 and we'll proceed. Translation for 9 to 13. Such kings as Prithu, Pururava, Gadi, Nahusa, Bharata, Kartavira Arjuna, Mandata, Sahara, Rama, Katvanga, Dunduha, Rahu, Trinabindu, Yayati, Saryati, Santanu, Gaya, Bhagiratha, Kuvalayasva, Kakustha, Naisada, Nirga, Hiranyakashipu, Vritha, Ravana, who made the whole world lament. Namuchi, Sambara, Bhuma, Hiranyaksha and Taraka, as well as many other demons and kings who possess great powers of control over others, were all full of knowledge, heroic, all-conquering and unconquerable. Nevertheless, O mighty Lord, although they lived their lives intensively trying to possess me, these kings were subject to the passage of time, which reduced them all to mere historical accounts. None of them could permanently establish the rule. I will read the purport. According to Srila Sridhara Swami and as confirmed by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura, the King Rama mentioned here is not the incarnation of Godhead Ramachandra. Prithu Maharaja is understood to be an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who completely exhibited the characteristics of an earthly king, claiming proprietorship over the entire earth. A saintly king like Prithu Maharaja, however, controls the earth on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas demons such as Hiranyakashipu or Ravana tries to exploit the earth for his personal sense gratification. Nevertheless, both saintly kings and demons must leave the earth. In this way, their political supremacy is ultimately neutralized by force of time. Modern political leaders cannot even temporarily control the entire earth, nor are their opulences and intelligence unlimited. Possessing hopelessly fragmental power, enjoying a minuscule lifespan, and lacking deep existential intelligence, modern leaders inevitably are symbols of frustration and misdirected ambition. ఓం అజ్ఞాన తిమరందస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయ చక్షుర్ ఉన్మిలితమైన తస్మై శ్రీ గురువేన శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోపీష్టం స్థాపితమైన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కథామాహి తదాతీస్వ పదాంతికం. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శివసాది. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ రామ హరే హరే. Classified as devotees and demons. Now, devotees, as you know, they follow the instructions of the Lord, whereas demons, they do not follow and they enjoy the sense gratification on their own accord. So you can also derive the fact that devotees take shelter of the divine energy of the Lord or superior energy of the Lord superior energy, whereas demons, you know, they surrender to the inferior energy of the Lord, which is Maya or external energy, which is always troublesome, which Krishna is always telling the Bhagavad Gita that, you know, just try to transcend above the three modes of material nature, because the three modes of material nature are very troublesome, very difficult to overcome, and it is always give problem to the humanity. So he says, try to try above the three modes of material nature. Now, in the translation, it says, you know, the last paragraph, these kings were subject to the passage of time, which reduced them all to mere historical accounts. So with the passage of time, everything is gone now. You know, the great leaders, so-called leaders who were there, they were all disappeared over the passage of time. Now, I feel that, you know, of course, I think that there is an apt verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, 2.3.17. Any guess? Okay, this is a very famous one and very apt for this translation. Ayur harati vaipumsam uddam astam cha yan asau tasyarte yat shano nita uttama loka vartaya. What it says is, both by rising and setting of the sun decreases the duration of the human life for everyone, except for the one who is engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. So everyone, you know, every day when the sun rises and the sun sets, one day is gone. We are going closer to the death. We cannot avoid that. But for the person, you know, for a devotee is engaged in spiritual life, for eternal, the time is not going, because the time is counted towards going towards the Lord. So how can you say that it's temporary? It's eternal. And also it said that, you know, over a period of time, you know, it says modern political leaders cannot even temporarily control the entire earth, you know, because he's saying, because frustration and misdirected ambition. Now, today we see that the whole world, you know, is full of problems, right? We see problems like social unrest, thieves, plundering, even the politicians also, you know, behaving in a very bad manner, you know. So all these are happening because of lack of knowledge. Isn't it? That's Prabhupada says, poor fund of knowledge, you know. So Srila Prabhupada wanted the Brahminical culture to be introduced into our system, right? Why? Because Brahmins, they are a class of people with good character, moral principle, they are able to control the senses, the mind, and they possess transcendental knowledge. So they can lead an example, you know, with their good behavior and the character. So Srila Prabhupada wanted the Brahmin society to flourish, you know. He has pointed out in one of the lecture that there is no shortage of anything in this world, but there is a shortage of Brahmins. So the Brahminical culture has to flourish, you know, because that gives society something else to look forward, you know, because these days you see, you know, all this misdirected civilization, you know, no one knows what they are doing. Actually the leaders, if they are not pure, they cannot lead their subjects. They are going to mislead the subjects. And the other thing is, Brahminical culture means you live in harmony with this world. Okay? which is lacking here. You know, today we see a lot of this mishappenings, you know, like tsunami, earthquake, hurricane, etc., whatever may be. You know, this is all happening because we are not living in harmony with the material nature, with Mother Earth. That is why all these things are happening. And people are also brainwashed with so much of these machines that they cannot live without it. And at the same time, they don't even think that it is all going to kill them, you know, these kinds of machines. Anything, you know, any kinds of equipment, you know, too much modernization, you know, that is leading to all kinds of problems. Now, we have seen and we have talked about a lot of the faults, you know, in Kali Yuga. You know, because Kali Yuga, it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that it's an ocean of fault, right? But there is one good quality. That good quality is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, there is an analogy in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42, right? What it says is, they're comparing the devotional service to a nice analogy, you know. So they're saying, when a person is hungry and is engaged in eating, three things, you know, happen to him simultaneously when he takes every bite of food, right? So what are the three things that's happening to him? Obviously, the first thing is, everyone knows, you know, for hunger, right? You're hungry, that's why you're eating, you know, most of the time, you know. Sometimes we look at the time and eat. That's a different issue. But mostly, you know, we feel hungry. Ah, today, you know. But most of the time, you know, I would say that in Kali Yuga, they look at the time and they feel hungry. It is not they eat because of hungry, you know. But anyway, the Srimad Bhagavatam says that, you know, so it has to be 200% correct, not 100%. It's coming from the higher source. So, three things, okay? By eating, first you get relief from hunger. Second thing is, as you eat every bite, you get nourishment. Isn't it? Otherwise, you know, we will not be able to walk or do our services, you know. Do arati or whatever may be walking across. And the third thing is, what's the third thing? Satisfy our pleasure. You get pleasure from the food, right? That is why eating. See, the food, sometimes, you know, we see, we taste one food, oh, there is no salt, there is no chili powder, nothing. Okay, we leave it, you know. Right? So, there is a pleasure in eating. That is why you continue doing it. Likewise, you know, same thing. There is a pleasure, transcendental pleasure in doing devotion service. Otherwise, why do we come and chant the Hare Krishna mantra day in and day out? The same mantra, you know. It's not changing. There is no version of version 1, version 2, version 3 of Hare Krishna mantra. The same mantra, the same Krishna is there. Srila Prabhupada installed it in 1969. When Prabhu? When Srila Prabhupada installed Radha Pallabha? 72 or 73. Same Radha Pallabha, you know. There is, we are not changing different versions, you know. We are not taking a flute from Radha Pallabha and give a guitar to him. You know, same Radha Pallabha. But how? How, you know, according to the materialistic, you know, change is the only permanent thing, you know. That's what they come under the analogy of. Change is the only permanent thing. But here, if you keep on changing Radha Pallabha and all that, then what is devotion service, you know? So, spiritual life means, you know, same thing. It's not changing. And that's why we get transcendental pleasure, and that is why we are doing it. So, coming back to our analogy, in the same way, when you do devotional service or when you take shelter of the Supreme Personality of God, it's Sri Krishna, three things occur simultaneously. What are the three things? The first thing is, you get devotion to the Lord. That's what we are doing, you know. Because we are doing sadhana bhakti. We don't have a natural love for the Lord. We have for our body, we have for the family. But even though we have heard so many times that Krishna is the Supreme Person and Krishna is an all-powerful being, yet we don't have taste. Of course, I can say for myself, I cannot comment for everyone. The taste is really not there, it's lacking, right? Now, how do you get the taste? You know, that's why we are doing sadhana bhakti, right? By doing sadhana bhakti, the taste comes, you know. So, devotion is the first thing, and then you get the direct experience of the Lord. See, everyone in this room can experience that, you know. It is not that Krishna is there and we are thinking, maybe we are getting something, maybe no. If that is the case, no one will be here doing the same thing again and again, right? That's the taste which Krishna gives, you know. Obviously, because Lord as Paramatma, He watches and gives the taste. And then, you know, He's a person, you know. Krishna says, I'm a person. I'm a friend to every living entity. So if that is a person, He reciprocates. Then hence we find the taste, you know. For example, if I talk to Arjun Saha, and he also talks to me, you know, there is a relationship, and the taste develops, you know. And then we become friends, more, you know, very thick friends. And the taste develops, you know, the same taste Krishna has experienced. Krishna says that, you know, he is experiencing with each of his devotees. Right? So the devotion is there, the direct experience of the Supreme Lord is there. And what's the last one? And you get detachment from the material enjoyment. Naturally three things happen, you know. So just like how you take the food, you know, naturally you take, you don't think, you know, you don't think, oh, I'm going to be healthy and all that. You take the food naturally. In the same way, the three things happen if you take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So today, we discuss about a couple of scenarios from Srimad Bhagavatam, which normally I do. So we want to see, you know, we have heard about chanting is very powerful, is good, it's liberating, etc. You know. Let us see the real effect of chanting in Srimad Bhagavatam with the example. And then, as a Vaishnava, you know, we have to also exhibit a standard behavior in our life. Okay? Today we see an exemplary behavior of a very pure devotee of the Lord. Okay? So we'll discuss it later. Two scenarios we'll discuss. The first one is, to prove the strength of the holy name, Shukadeva Goswami has told Parikshit Maharaj about the story of Ajamala, right? Otherwise, why he has to bring the story of Ajamala, right? So, Shukadeva Goswami framed the sequences of Srimad Bhagavatam in such a way that over a day, you know, because Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days, right? Because he's got less time, at the same time, more philosophy and more, you know. Of course, Maharaj Parikshit is already a pure devotee. But for us, you know, in a manner we understand, Shukadeva Goswami is told such that, you know, slowly, you know, his devotion is increasing more and more. It never stops. And hence, you know, he's coming out with a lot of facts. One of the facts is the holy name, you know. So to prove that, Shukadeva Goswami described the history of Ajamala. Now, Ajamala, as most of you might have read Srimad Bhagavatam, it comes in Canto 6, Chapter 3, Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, Ajamala was a resident of Kanya Kubja, which is currently known as Kanau in India. Now, he was trained by his parents in a very Brahminical culture, right? Following the four regulative principles and exhibiting exemplary behavior and character, a typical Brahmin olden days he was exhibiting. But what happened was, in his youth, Ajamala was trapped into Maya, as each one of us get trapped. Okay? What happened once, when Ajamala was a youth, he was traveling into the forest to get some things for his yajna sacrifice. There he saw a Sudra man and a prostitute embracing each other and intoxicated. They were taking some intoxication. Now, Ajamala, you know, he was very pure at heart, you know, because he was, the moment he saw that, you know, nowadays, you know, we see everywhere and we are used to that. You know what I mean? In Melbourne, anywhere you walk, you know, you see all this. So, first time when you see something, you know, you feel something, and then later on you get used to that, you know. But Ajamala, in those times, you know, he did not get to see such kind of a low behavior. But he saw that, the forest. Then, that created an impression in his mind. Okay? Now, when he was doing meditation, when he was chanting, when he was worshipping the Lord, the same impression was focused, you know, it's coming on and on to him again. Now, he could not do his sadhana. So, his sadhana fell down, his taste for chanting fell down, his devotion service fell down. And what is the result of that? We are seeing that. So, when someone, you know, having a taste, the less taste for chanting, the less taste for devotion service, that means, you know, more and more Maya is coming into the life. You know, there can be only one thing, you know. You can't be Krishna conscious and you can't be material consciousness. Okay? So as the material consciousness goes, Krishna consciousness comes in. If you fill up like a vessel, you know, like a glass. You fill up the glass with material consciousness, you cannot have Krishna conscious. But if you want Krishna conscious, fine, Krishna is very kind. By putting in Krishna conscious, the material conscious will slowly go away. But if you want material consciousness, then Krishna says fine, you know, then he will keep away from us. That's what the Lord is very kind. He does it for our purpose. So if you are happy, if you don't want me in the picture, that's fine. Right? So what happened? He saw that and he could not do his sadhana properly. Right? And hence, he decided, at the time he was married and all that, he had a very beautiful Brahmin wife. What he decided was, he forsaked her and he decided to live with a prostitute. Now, as you know, a Brahmin is getting married to a Sudra woman, you know. So what can you think of the behavior and the character happening to Ajamila, you know. Slowly, you know, he became, his modes of material nature was transcending down, you know, instead of going up, you know, from goodness. Brahmana means he is in the mode of goodness, controlling the senses and the mind. Now, from goodness, he went to passion and ignorance. So what did he do? Some of the jobs he did was, he became a thief, plundering people, their wealth, gambling. You know, he is doing all crimes, you know. If possible, he can even kill, you know. That kind of, you know, atrocious things he was doing, a Brahmana. Okay? Now, he had completely deteriorated, and then he was living with a prostitute, and he was basically, you know, thinking that's a life, and I'm very happy, you know, come on. You know? He completely forgotten the devotion service to the Lord. Now, through the wife, prostitute wife, he got 10 children. Okay? And the tenth child was quite young, you know. It is said that, and I'm not too sure about it, that he almost got the tenth child at the age of 80. So you can see how lusty he was at the time. Now, soon, you know, he became 88 years and was about to die. Okay? Now, because his last son was very young, he was very much attached to the son. And he kept the name of the last son as Narayana. Okay, he's very much attached, you know. See, normally they'll be attached to their children, young children, because they'll be very nice to look at it. He naturally got attracted to the child, and he used to call him Narayana, play with him and all that, you know. Now, as he was proceeding, you know, towards 88 years, yeah, death was imminent for him. You cannot help it, you know. That's what it is said in the translation, right? Everyone has to pass this world. At that time, he saw some fearful personalities, awkward kind of persons, very awkward, you know. They come with ropes in their hand and they were trying to snatch his soul from him. He could realize the body is old, then you can know, you know, the senses are weak. At that time you can realize that you are the soul. That's what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do. Even when the body is young, if you control the senses, then you know that you are the soul. That's exactly what Srila Prabhupada wanted, Krishna conscious. So as long as you enjoy the senses, the soul will not manifest. Right? Doesn't matter, young body, old body, middle body, anything. As soon as you try to control the senses, the soul will manifest and you can have a direct relationship with the Lord. But if you enjoy the material senses, you cannot realize that you are the soul because you are on the bodily platform. Right? You have to deviate from bodily platform, then only you realize as a soul. Now, Ajamila, what happened? These awkward persons, they are known as Yamadutas, the order carriers of Yamaraja, right? Very awkward looking person. They came and they were putting the rope on him and snatching the soul, you know. At that time, having seen that fearful personality, you know, he could not do anything, you know. He has to, you know, cry, you know. So he was shouting. Because he was attached to his son Narayana, he was saying, Narayana, Narayana, with tears in his eyes. Because he's attached, you know, he was crying in a very helpless condition, offenseless. So at that time, what happened? The Vishnu Dudas appeared, who are the servants of the Lord. They are magnificent persons, you know. They just possess all the opulence of the Lord, shining, effulgent, very nice looking. And look at that, you know, when you have some bad creature there looking at it, and suddenly you get a nice, effulgent personality, how do you feel? He was little bit happy, you know, and he did not know how they came up, you know. And then, now the soul is in transmigration. He could see, fortunately, this again, unless you have the blessings of the Lord, this cannot happen. Because he called Narayana, immediately he got the blessings of the Lord. And mind you, he was telling in a very helpless and offenseless chanting. So the Lord was moved, and this was happening. So what is happening? As a soul, he could realize what is happening. Now, there was a tough battle between the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas. They were exchanging words, sometimes exchanging, you know. They were fighting also, you know. In the discussion, you know, they were talking about, Vishnudutas were asking Yamadutas, come on, what do you know about religion? You're talking about it, you know. No. Before that, you know, when they saw it, they were surprised, you know. The Yamadutas are surprised. How come we have come to snatch this personality who's very sinful? How come these effulgent person are coming and standing and looking at this? He's such a, you know, wretched person. And we are supposed to take his soul and take back to Yamaraja according to the justice, right? But someone else is coming and stopping us from this. So what is wrong, you know? So during the conversation, they were asking, the soul belongs to us. We have the right to take the soul to the Yamaraja because of the offenses he has done. So you please don't stop us. Get away from our way. We will go. Vishnudutta said, come on. You, hands off. That body belongs to us, you know. That is what our Lord said. Hands off. So there was an exchange of battle and discussions going on. And in the discussion, you know, the Vishnudutas are asking Yamadutas, come on, if you know that the soul belongs to us, come on, we'll ask you a question. Tell us what is Bhagavata Dharma, religious principles. Explain and also tell us what is irreligion, and then you can take the soul. Come on, they are trapped. The Yamadutas could not even answer. They were trying to tell, you know, because whatever they knew, because they did not have, they were not listening to you, like you guys in the Bhagavatam. So they could not explain properly. Then Yamadharmaraj, every time when I was saying, these people are not, you know, putting, you know, they were not listening properly. And hence, they could not answer the question raised by Vishnudutas. And hence, you know, they have to submit. Okay, you take the soul. We cannot answer, you know. Because those days, they used to have debate and questions like that. It's not like snatching. Come on, I'm very powerful. I'm very healthy. Come on. It's not like that. To philosophical discussion, they will talk. And then it fails, then with the, you know, with the bodily might and all that. So they said, okay, the soul belongs to you. Now, the Vishnudutas, they took the soul. Or it came under the in charge of the Vishnudutas. Now, the Yamadutas are very much disappointed. Come on, we have got to take a position, you know. But our position, you know, someone has stopped us. So we are very disappointed. So what they did, with great disappointment, they went to Yamaraja. Yamaraja understood, you know, and he said, okay, fine, I know the reason for your disappointment. So he explained to them the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, the religious principle, very vastly to them. So that they had a very good understanding, and then they were happy. Like you see at the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam class, all people are very happy. Because they got the transcendental knowledge. So in the same way, they were very happy. Not only that, Yamaraja, they also told the Vishnudutas that the Vaishnavas are the devotees of the Lord, are pure devotees, they are very pure devotees of the Lord, and they are not attached to any sense gratification. Because the Supreme Lord is the creator, destroyer and the maintainer of the cosmic manifestation. And hence, the Supreme Lord is beyond the material senses. So, the pure devotees of the Lord are not attached to any material position, nor do they have any hatred or envy towards anyone, because they are equal to everyone. The pure devotees of the Lord is equal to everyone. That is what the instruction Yamadharmaraja is giving to his servants. And he is also saying that even I, Brahma or Shiva or Indra, we don't know the complete transcendental activities of the Lord. Amazing, you know. See, they are dealing with the Supreme Lord, and they are saying, we don't know fully the transcendental activities of the Lord, because it's beyond, you know, us. So we know some of that, but it's beyond us. Okay. And then, finally, you know, he's giving an instruction, okay. I just like to read that statement, so that it's very clear. He says, my dear servants, please do not approach such devotees, for they have fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are equal to everyone, and their narrations are sung by the demigods and inhabitants of Siddha Loka. Please do not go near them. This is the instruction of Yamaraja to his servants. So what happens if you are a devotee of Krishna? Yamaraja will not touch you, this body. When they see the tilak and the neck beads, they don't come near you. This is not a statement. This is, it is a fact given by Yamaraja to his servants, So the servants of Yamaraja will not touch the devotees. 100%, it's sure. That's what it says here. Please do not even go near them. They are always protected by the club of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, Lord Brahma and I, and even the time factor, cannot chastise them. See, in the first part, we saw Hayurarati Vaipunsam, where it is said that a person who is engaged in the transcendental activities of the Lord, time does not have a play. And again, Yamaraja is saying the same thing. Time factor will not have a play on them. They cannot chastise them. Nor me, Brahma. We cannot touch it. Because what happens is a devotee is a possession of the Lord. A devotee is not a possession of anyone. He comes under the care of the Lord. That is why, it is emphasized there. Okay. So with this, we know the effect of chanting. So when we chant, we'll think of Ajamila case. And we'll chant it better. Because He forgot to do his sadhana and ahimsi, he was trapped. And who knows, Ajamila, has got the grace of the Lord. So at the age of 88, he could think of the Lord, and somehow he said Narayana and he went back. But for us, we can't take the case of Ajamila and think, okay, at the age of 88 we'll chant. First of all, we don't know whether we'll be at the age of 88. So we'll take the chanting very seriously and we'll do that. The second thing is, really I would like to mention the exemplary behavior of a pure devotee of the Lord. This comes in chapter 6, canto 6, chapter 17. Any guess? This is Chitraketu. Okay. Now what happens? Once Chitraketu Maharaj was traveling along the mountain Sumeru in the outer space, and there he noticed Lord Shiva with his personal associates. Lord Shiva is a very exalted personality, very powerful too. So he was having a discourse on maybe Srimad Bhagavatam or some topics with his personal associates, who are very saintly persons. Now at that time, what Lord Shiva did was, he was having Mother Parvati on his lap and he was embracing like that. You can see the picture in Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay? Lord Shiva can do. We cannot imitate him. So what Chitraketu Maharaj, at the time, he was traveling on a brilliantly effulgent aeroplane which is given by Lord Vishnu. Has given him. Imagine. He has won the trust of the Lord and the Lord has given him an aeroplane, If at all, if we want, we can only buy a car from Toyota or Nissan, Pulsar or something, and after a few years it breaks down. But Chitraketu Maharaj, an aeroplane given by, there's no driver, it runs automatically, no petrol, no gas conversion, nothing. Right? Now as he was traveling, he saw this situation, right? Now, perhaps, there was many discussions on this, but it is said that at the time he was slightly puffed up, but it is also said that he is a pure devotee, is not. So I don't want to get into the discussion, right? Whatever may be the reason, what happened at the time, he was loudly laughing and making joke of Lord Shiva. He said, ordinary conditioned person, they embrace a wife in a solitary place and they enjoy with the wife. But look at Lord Shiva, Mahadeva, in a public place with all the saintly person, he is embracing his wife. Ha ha, like that, he was laughing. Okay, that's it. Now Lord Shiva, the exalted personality, he smiled and kept quiet. Now following the footsteps of Lord Shiva, all the saintly person assembled there, they also kept quiet. Because when the leader is keeping quiet, we will also keep quiet. But Mother Parvati, the wife of Lord Shiva, cannot keep quiet as usual. When the husband is offended, the ladies cannot keep quiet. So we have to be very careful in dealing with them. We should know who's a Prabhu and who's a wife, and accordingly you have to be careful in dealing with them. This is a lesson also for you guys. Okay? So what happened? Mother Parvati got offended. Very angry. Right? Immediately she cursed him. You are not fit to, you know, be in this level of a pure devotee of the Lord. So she did not say pure devotee, on this level. So hence I curse you to be born in a low sudra or a demon family, so that you will know how to respect an exalted personality. Mother Parvati said that. Now immediately, what Chitraketu did was, he left his aeroplane, because he was traveling, right? He's going. He left the aeroplane, he came. He bowed to Mother Parvati with folded hands. He said, Mother. He addressed as a mother. Say for example, if someone tells us, you know, Prabhu, you're not cleaning properly upstairs. What do you do? Prabhu, I know. You're not cleaning. Okay? I am cleaning. This is a counter argument we give. But it's cursed. Chitraketu Maharaj was cursed to be born as a demon the next birth. Okay? But he kept quiet. What he said was, he said, Mother, I am sorry. Kindly excuse me. I have done this mistake. I should not have told. But anyway, I feel that what I've said is not wrong. See, it's very firm. Not wrong. But I don't want you to ask me to pardon me for my curse. Or to pardon me for the mistake and to take away my curse. No, I accept this curse with honor. So I am not worried about it. I'm going to take your curse, you know. It is said that Chitraketu Maharaj are very, very powerful. He can curse Mother Parvati in retaliation. He could have done that. But he did not do that. Isn't it? It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam. He could counteract. He would say, come on. Imagine, you know, he can curse Lord Shiva's wife, Mother Parvati. Chitraketu Maharaj had got the power because he was empowered by the Lord. He was traveling in an aeroplane driven by the Lord. He could do that. But he did not do that. But instead he said, fine, I will accept your curse with great honor. He did not do that. So here it is mentioned that is a standard behavior of a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is there. As Srila Prabhupada always says, you know, to follow proper etiquette and to show some exemplary behavior. That is the duty of a Vaishnava. Right? So that is why we are talking about Maharaj Chitraketu, and he is in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam because he was showing an exemplary character, you know, by showing, you know, that yes, I will do that. Now what happened was, then Chitraketu Maharaj offered again the obeisances, and Lord Shiva and Parvati was highly impressed, and he left. He went to the aeroplane and he boarded it and he left. He knows that, you know, soon he is going to get an expert. Now, after Chitraketu Maharaj left, Lord Shiva was speaking, addressing his wife. He said, my dear wife Parvati, you see how exalted a Vaishnava is. You see that. They are not attached to anything except the service of the Lord. They are not attached. See, you give them heavenly planet, they don't want. You give them hellish planet, they don't mind. You ask them whether they want a Vaikuntha, they don't want. Why? Because they are always engrossed in the service of the Lord. Such high caliber, such is the personality of the devotees of the Lord. And he also says that they are equal to everyone. See, a devotee means he is equal to everyone. He considers all the living entity as the same, not like what we are doing here. In this place now, right now, everywhere in the world, they are not treating innocent animals, you know. The meat eating and all that. Innocent animals are not protected, which is as Srila Prabhupada wanted. You know, we have to protect the innocent animals, you know, so that the Brahminical culture will flourish. Taking care of the animals, they are not doing that. So he is kind to, see, when you say kind to all living entities means human and animals. See, those days when Krishna established the rule, you know, through the king, you know, when the Lord Ramachandra was also a king, and when the descendants was going on, the king has to take care of his praja, his subjects. And those subjects include the human and the animals also. Even when the animals is not well also, it's a duty of the king to take care of it, make sure. You cannot kill it. So, but these days, you know, they think that yes, human beings fine, and that too they are mistreated, and animals don't care about it. So that is why it's mentioned. He is equal to all living entities and free from attachment and hatred. A devotee is, you know, everyone is a friend. Everyone is a devotee of the Lord. Why is a hatred? Why do you think that I like someone, I don't like someone? And said, therefore, no one should be astonished to see the activities of the most exalted devotees of Narayana, for they are free from attachment and envy. They are always peaceful and they are equal to everyone. It is said that a devotee is peaceful and is equal to everyone. So Lord Shiva says that. Okay? And then what happens? In the next life, quickly discuss that and wind up. And so in the next life, Chitraketu Maharaj was born as a demon. His name was Vritrasura, and he was born in a fire sacrifice performed by Tvasta. And again he became famous as Vritrasura. Now what happened quickly? At the end of Kali, at the end of Satya Yuga and the start of the Treta Yuga, Vritrasura was born. Okay? At that time there was a serious fight between the demons and the demigods. Now at that time, looking at the power and the effulgence of the demigod, all the demons flew. they left the battlefield and they ran away. Because how can you fight with the demigod? So they left behind Vritrasura and all of them ran away. Now Vritrasura is a commander-in-chief and he was a lone guy fighting with all the demigods. But yet, you know, he was a hero. He said, come on, I have taken up this job. I will not leave like a fool, cowards like you. I will fight. So what he was doing is he was giving a very tough fight with Indra. You know, Indra is a leader of the demigod, the commander-in-chief. So for the fight between the demigods and so he was fighting with Indra, you know. At one stage, what happened? Vritrasura was very fierce, you know, because he had a very huge body. It is said that the body of Vritrasura is like a mountain. His head was almost touching the sky. There's a description given. You can have a look, you know. So he was giving a tough fight, and at one point, Indra was really, you know, confused. So he started, you know, he took his club and he started throwing at him. Vritrasura broke, and again he threw back at Indra. And it was said that the Indra and his elephant, they flew almost some 40-50 yards away. Just when he threw that thing, you know, such was the power of Vritrasura. Right? Because he was a pure devotee, he was accursed to be a demon. So he became a powerful demon. But the astonishing fact is, Vritrasura was a demon, okay? The body is a demon, but the consciousness is like a pure devotee. No change in the consciousness. One chapter is dedicated to the transcendental qualities of Vritrasura in Srimad Bhagavatam. He was a demon body, but consciousness, highly elevated consciousness. That's what we are going to see. Okay? And finally, you know, in the battle, they were fighting at the same time. See, those days they were also having philosophical discussions in the battle. You know, they used to talk about soul, whatever maybe, or Lord Hari is great. What do you think, you know, leave the power. The philosophical discussion was going on. Not like, you know, just, you know, all these filthy words these days are going across. So it's a battle, very, very respected battle. That is why Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita in the battlefield. Right? It's a very respected area. It is not to be condemned. Okay? Right. So what we are going to say is, as I was saying, in the battlefield also, Vritrasura was exhibiting high exemplary character. Okay? At one stage, Indra was not trusting the thunderbolt, you know. He said, oh, thunderbolt may not work. Because Vritrasura is so powerful. Then Vritrasura is telling, he's an opponent, okay? He's saying, come on, Indra. That is the equipment given by Lord Hari. Why do you, you know, have a lack in Lord Hari? So use that thunderbolt and strike me, you know, I will die. So he's giving a tip also. Because he do that, and then he cut both his hands, Vritrasura's hands, and then Vritrasura got angry, he swallowed Indra, and he went, Indra did not die, and he came out and with the thunderbolt he cut the head of Vritrasura, and finally he died. It took about 1 year for him to cut the head of Vritrasura, it is said. One full year. It's a full-time job. Yeah, and finally, you know, when he died, it is said that the soul, you know, slowly went and it went up and went to the transcendental sky. It is said that the soul is leaving. Okay? Now, what I want to say here is, Vritrasura, right? He has such a dedication for the Lord, and he always wants to engage in the Lord's service. Okay. Now, at that time when he was about to die, this is very, very nice and sentimental too. When he was about to die, he's requesting the Lord. Okay. Look at his service attitude of Pitrasura. Okay. I'll read that. He says, he's giving three scenarios. Okay. How my situation is in front of the Lord, you know, how I'm feeling myself at this stage, you know. Each one of us, if we feel like that, then we can definitely advance in Krishna consciousness. Okay. First he is saying, oh lotus eyed Lord, Madhusudana, Krishna, he's saying, I am like a baby bird whose wings have not grown fully, depending on my mother to feed me. This is my precarious condition, he's saying. See, when the bird is young, they depend on the mother. And he's saying, I am so young that I don't have the wings have not grown fully for me. So when you are not grown, you are completely under the care of your mother, right? Like a small child. A small child is completely under the care of the mother. You know, he trusts the mother, you know, everything. But we, what we think? We know everything. We know everything. So he's saying, such an elevated personality, see? And the second scenario is saying, I'm like a small calf tied to a tree, waiting for me to be untied so that I can drink milk from my mother. This is my situation. I am tied up in the material world. I'm waiting to be released so that one day I can taste. Tasting of the milk means one day I can release the taste of the Supreme Lord. See, being in the Lord, being with the association of the Lord, with the pure devotees is not an easy thing, okay? It is the highest thing a human being can derive in the material world. In the company of, can you imagine the association of the Lord? You will be always happy because Krishna is a reservoir of happy, you know. There is nothing else you want. That is why people say, when I come to the temple, I feel some change and I'm feeling very happy. Obviously, it will happen. If you take sugar, it will be sweet. If you are with Krishna, you will be happy. It's a natural phenomenon. There's nothing to hide. So he's saying, I am like a hen calf. I want to be released so that I can take milk from my mother. This is my condition. And the third thing he says, I am like a morose wife, separated from my husband. And I want my husband to come and associate with me. These are the three scenarios he's giving. And I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. So a devotee, it is said that he does not want anything. He's always interested in the service of the Lord. Because that is the highest. He finds great pleasure in doing the service of the Lord. Look at all our brahmacharis. They dedicated the service of the Lord. Why? There's a taste, you know. So much of transcendental happiness, you know. You cannot get from the material nature. The material nature will only harass you. Only harass you. You find that there is some pleasure for the time being. But later on there will be harassment only. So we have to trust the Srimad Bhagavatam. The philosophies given by the great acharyas. And look at this. How he is saying. Vitrasura, he has seen the Lord. He has got an aeroplane. He has been cursed. He became a very powerful demoness Vitrasura. Yet he has seen the Lord, yet he is very, very, very subservient and is having an exemplary behavior. So that is what I wanted to discuss here. And yes, we wind up here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any comments for corrections, please let me know. There is always a room for correction. Any questions? Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.